effects. If you solely focus on those systemic things that everybody is frustrated with that need to change, you can easily slip back into this place of being a powerless, helpless victim. And you, my friend, are not a powerless, helpless victim. Hey there, Class Kicker. This is Brian with the Kick Some Class podcast. And this is the show that's designed to help you, the educator, kick some class in every area of life, whether that's in school, at home, or in your normal life. And if you are just starting out and you're trying to figure things out, or you're an old grizzled veteran and you're trying not to burn out, this is the show for you. And I recently announced that I wrote a book called Recalculating, and it says a navigation system for educators who are burning out, getting out, or trying to stick it out. So if you missed that video, go ahead and check that out. Today I'm going to be talking about some of the stuff in the video, starting off with this idea of reflection. So I am at the end of a school year. Maybe your school year has just recently ended or is about to end in the next week or so, a couple days, whatever that might be. And it's a perfect time to take on this idea of reflection. It's something that I think is sadly glazed over in our lives because we're so busy and we have so many distractions and things going on. But as we take up this idea of reflection, it's the perfect time in our lives to figure out, how did this year go? Is this something that I want to carry on into next year? And if not, why and what changes do I want to make? And I'm not really talking about the type of reflection that happens, say, with every lesson. So you try out a different lesson style and you're wondering if, you know, that worked, did the kids get out of it, you know, was it worth it? All of those good things are great to do in your routine. But what happens when you get to the end of a school year? Do you actually reflect on what happened in that year to make some changes as you move on? So I'm going to give you a couple of tips and tricks here. First thing I want you to think about is, if you survey your entire year, you got to remember this, you're doing it from the place where you are right now. So at the end of the school year, it's June or it's late May, wherever you are, when you're kind of watching or listening to this, but you might be thinking about your entire year and it might be a little bit colored based on where you are right now. So at the end of a school year, you might be extremely tired. You might be worn out. You may have done a bunch of fun stuff and connected with your kids, and maybe you're a little bit sad to see them go home for the summer. Maybe you're extremely excited to see them move on to the next grade. But either way, whatever you've got going on, is just kind of keep that in mind, that it may not be indicative of the way your whole year went. But as you think back on your entire year, we need to think about, how did those things impact you, and what do you want to do about them moving forward? I realize right now there are so many teachers going through burnout, and it's not just teachers, it's across the board. And there are a lot of reasons why people are going through burnout. We could take a lot of those reasons and say that they are the system, right? And so there's a lot of things that are going on, and this is 100%. I would never argue with you on this one. There are systemic things in education right now that are not good for kids, that are not good for teachers, that are not good for families. And we are sometimes pushing them forward. We're making them worse. People are piling things on. And so, yeah, there's a little bit to that. But one of the things I started off the book with is this idea on that you have to have a hero's mindset. And what I mean by that is not taking away from the systemic things in education right now that are going on and that you have no control over. That's going to be there. And I don't think those things are necessarily going to go away. We're always going to have the box that we have to fit in education. But if you solely focus on the box, if you solely focus on those systemic things that everybody is frustrated with that need to change, you can easily slip back into this place of being a powerless, helpless victim. And you, my friend, are not a powerless, helpless victim. You have 100% control over a portion of what happens to you and what you choose to do. And I think thinking that way is incredibly empowering, because now I can look at what I chose to do in my classroom, with my students, with my curriculum, with my time, and I can actually assess those things. Now, of course, I can't control a whole host of other things, but I'm going to focus on what I can control on. And I think those are the things that a lot of teachers might get off topic, maybe just a little bit, thinking about what they can't control. And then you get into this place of depression and helplessness and despondency and cynicism. And those are real. And I really hope that none of you are there, but I know that some of you probably are. And so what do you do with that? And I'm not going to minimize those feelings, but I think one of the things that you can do is to find a place where you find your power and find that place where you have control, where you have a say, where you can do something about it and then make those changes. And so as you think back, here's a couple places to look. You're looking at your classroom dynamic. Maybe you're looking at your students, your interactions with people. Well, let's start there. So you have students, you have colleagues, you have administrators, you have parents. How are those interactions playing into your level of satisfaction with your job, your burnout in your life, and what you carry back and forth with you to school? So thinking through that, there were some places for me as I was going through burnout where I had to establish boundaries with coworkers. And so this is things like I would have my agenda, which I already felt was kind of like right at the top. I couldn't take any more. And then I would have somebody kind of walk in the room and they would want to throw something urgent onto my list. Now, they may not have been thinking things like this. I'm just, from my perspective, it was like, hey, all of a sudden this is urgent to you. It does not necessarily mean that it's got to be urgent to me. And so if you don't have it in you, and you, or maybe you don't feel like being that person to step up and say, you need to give me some space, and you need to send me an email or knock on the door, ask for permission, rather than just barging in and throwing that thing right on top of the pile of stuff that I already have to do. And this actually prevents you from being reactionary to tasks and being able to be a little bit proactive. I get to set what is valuable to me and not what is urgent to someone else. And so unless that person is your direct supervisor, you have that freedom. You may not realize you do, but you don't have to respond to that email. You don't have to complete that paperwork. You can do the things that are pressing to you that reduce your stress level, and then you can tackle those things when they matter. And if that irritates someone else, that's not your stuff. All right, so another thing that I've noticed from time to time is there are those students. Now, you know exactly what I mean when I say that, and you probably had a face of a kid that someone loves, but you are struggling to love that kid right now, and that's okay. What is it about that kid or that type of kid or their behavior, whatever it is, that pushes your buttons, right? So you can be irritated with that student. That's totally normal. It happens to us in every relationship. However, you might want to think about, are they pushing you to a place of having compassion fatigue? I read that term just in the last week or so, and I think it's really interesting that we get tired about being compassionate to other people. And teachers, this happens oftentimes with one particular kid. We say, hey, you know, I start every day fresh. You got a fresh start with me. If you goofed up yesterday and, you know, you were a butthead and all of a sudden today, you know, and obviously not saying that to the kid, but you got a fresh start with me today, right? But do they? Are you kind of like, oh man, you know, there they are again on the same behavior pattern. So here's what I want to throw out to you is if you spend a little time reflecting, can you own your part? If they're pushing buttons, those buttons exist. And so what are the buttons that that type of kid is pressing in you? And is there something you can do about it? Is there a way that you can set yourself up to have a little bit more like sponge room? If you know what I mean by that is that you've got more ability to absorb before you overflow. And so if we're looking for a positive overflow with students all the time, even the ones that push your buttons, what is there that you can do about those buttons so that maybe it takes a little bit longer for them to get you to the point where you're expressing some compassion fatigue? So I think that's a really interesting place to start is to reflect on students, reflect on your colleagues. And then the last one that I'll have you reflect on is your current position. So if you are in a position and there's a subtle shift that you could make, maybe as summer approaches, you see internal job postings or you have the ability to let your administrator know you'd like a shift, maybe there's a possibility that you go up a grade level, down a grade level, you shift your focus, maybe you co-teach or team teach, whatever it might be, a subtle shift in that position that allows you maybe just to have a little bit more joy, a little bit more impact. Maybe that allows you to have just a, a lightening in one area because it shifted the demand to a different part. So reflecting on what your position is like for you, and are there stresses, things like that, that you're carrying because of your position, because the people, because of the students, really great place to think about it. Because what happens with a lot of us when we're going through burnout is this idea of values incongruence. And this is a little bit about boundaries, but reflecting on some of these other things is part of it as well. And that is, my family is incredibly valuable to me. And I know that yours would be to you. But what happens when we feel as though we have to bring maybe things home with us? So we're bringing work home because of this project that we chose to do, and now we're grading that, and we don't realize why we're burning out, why we're angry, why we're frustrated. Well, that's because your value of family, that boundary is being crossed because of a choice that you made to do that project, to bring it home to grade. So like, you're irritated. You probably don't even realize it because you're not spending time with your family. You're not honoring that value. You're incongruent on that value. And therefore, it starts to spill over into your relationships. You're not really upset with your spouse, with your kids at home. You're upset that you're not getting to spend time with them. And because of that values incongruence, it actually overflows negatively in the space where you are. And maybe you take that back to school. So taking some time to reflect on those things and your values actually help us to figure out what we really want and to be more intentional about getting the things that we say we value, because we're making different choices. But right now, before you jump full on into summer, before you begin to plan next year, before you begin to Netflix binge and, you know, and recover, can you take some time to quiet things down, to reflect on what matters to you, how you responded this year, what you want differently next year, and then to make a positive plan to be proactive personally. Sorry about the alliteration, but you get the point. One last one. And I really think that will help you kick some class. Look, I talk about so many related things in the book, Recalculating. Again, it's on Amazon. For you guys, coming up, you can get a free chapter of the book on my website, kicksomeclass.com, and go up to the top and click freebies just to check it out and see, hey, maybe this can help you kick some class in school, at home, and in life. I'll catch you next time.